updates. Our Silver Service Appreciation Day will be July 11th. We are going to, we haven't quite figured it out yet, but we're going to have it July 11th. We would like to invite you all to come. We're working with Carla Davis for the compliance. It's still pending. And the staff development updates for civil service is still pending. At this time, the most important thing to us was our paychecks on June 30th. And this is all I have to report.
Thanks, Ms. Stewart. Any questions from the Board of Trustees? Well, I'm pretty pleased. I hope everybody else is. It was nice to get some resolution. I do want to say it was a pleasure to have you all at our lunch today. It was great to hear the concerns, and I reflected in that lunch to those that were there, the appreciation the board has. We know who does the work. That's not lost on us at all. We greatly appreciate it, and it was nice to see so many people represented here today. So I wanted you to hear from me as well, that we greatly appreciate the work that's done. I'm glad there was some resolution. As you know, you have an open line of communication with us. And I would always encourage you to keep that pipeline open with the president and his administration as well.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. President Watson?
Yes, sir.
President's report?
Okay. First, I'd like to acknowledge and give the College of Education went through its NCATE accreditation process. And is Dean Gist here? No. They very successfully went through it. And it is when the five-person team met with us at the end, they came from five states throughout the United States. And NCATE is the highest accreditation that a university, the College of Education can receive. They reported to us that they are going to recommend to the NCATE board that Chicago State University's College of Education be given full accreditation and meritorious notice in one or two areas, one of which being assessment.
Wow.
And that is something that is new. So I really want to, the other one is that we went through the College of Pharmacy accreditation. And normally it takes 5 to 6 years. We did this in 4 years. We have a 98% retention rate. We have our first graduation this coming May, next week. We have 70 plus students who are going to be hooded with their doctorate in pharmacy with a 98% retention rate. And the accrediting body, they are not allowed to tell us the specifics of the recommendation. But let me just say that we felt very good on the exit interview. And by their board standards, they cannot tell us exactly what it is. But they felt very positive about the visit. They felt very positive about our program, and they noted a couple of attributes of our program that they are going to give special note to in terms of like best in practice. They said that we will find out in mid-June after they make the recommendation to their board. The reason why they're being so cautious, because in the past times, things have been said and the board had to reverse. So they're being very cautious, but we feel very good about the process that we went through.
Excellent.
I would also like to state that in terms of admissions, as you know, we have made some very difficult decisions over the last year, and we consciously and strategically made some decisions with regards to the academic standards, expectations of our students. And we dismissed close to 600 to 700 students. We also, in being in compliance with one of the audit findings, we had to ensure that we were collected from students the appropriate amount of tuition before they registered or set up a payment plan. This resulted in a potential, resulted in approximately a loss of about another 400 students. With that, our enrollment dropped, as you are aware. We met with enrollment management team, Dr. Henderson, and over the last 3 to 4 months, they have really pulled together a very aggressive plan. So we made strategic enrollment cuts to raise our standards from within, but we also made strategic enrollment, put in place strategic enrollment strategies to ensure that we bring in a stronger student without walking away from our mission, but bring in a stronger student. And as of right now, our enrollment applications for students is up 5.9%. There was a meeting that took place last week throughout the state of all universities. Chicago State had the highest of for freshmen in terms of percentage increase, a freshman applicant pool increase. And I received calls from other universities saying, what are you guys doing for that increase? So I'd like to commend enrollment retention graduation for being as aggressive as they are. Along with that, what we have put in place, the board should be aware that we are interviewing students, students who come in at a certain ACT grade point average. We now have a process where all those students must be interviewed. It was before they were just admitted. Mm-hmm. They start on August 15th and go forth. So we have an interview process that they must go through. Secondly, if they have a certain GPA and ACT score, they are not allowed to take more than 9 hours. So we, you know, all once again, best in practice, all research shows that, you know, in that situation, students do better when that is controlled. Thirdly, we have mandated courses. At a certain level, we do not give students the options. So students who come in at that level, they do not have the option just to choose any courses they want. We mandate the courses that they must take, and they take them in a block format. So we have strengthened our admissions process significantly. In terms of our entrance criteria, I think we've increased our ACT entrance criteria. We've gone from an average, we've gone up two points on the ACT scores over the last 2 years. And I think we're now averaging 18 on our ACT scores on average coming in. So as you can see, the admissions office has been quite busy. The only other thing that I can add is that this is our second year for the admissions process where we have had a series of sessions where we invite students in with their parents. Never before, students always just came in August 15th, they got registered and they went on. We are now having a series of meetings with parents. We have breakfast for the parents and the students, and we take the parents through an orientation and the students through an orientation. We have an average of between 100 and 150 students showing up at these sessions. So we're actually, you know, last year I think we registered close to 200, between 200 and 250 students before the first day of registration, which started in August. This is our second year of going through the same process. So in terms of how students enter the university, we have made a total paradigm change. We've raised the standards. We have a more efficient and effective process. We are still in the process of defining that. And we feel very good about the way we positioned our students coming in the door.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Watson, one of the things obviously that we've been trying to combat is just the misinformation that exists in the community about what we do. Mm-hmm. So what has the plan been, or what is the plan to communicate that paradigm shift that you just spoke about? This is fundamentally strategic thinking, and I just want to make sure that, you know, do all the right constituents know, and what's that plan look like?
Okay. One, we now have in place, and is Vice President Henderson here? We have in place a where we, if something happens, we strategically reach out automatically to all of our stakeholders. We've already predefined them. Everybody has a certain group of stakeholders that they will call to make sure that they brought up to date. So that very one-on-one engagement takes place immediately. Secondly, we have something called, I think it's called Myth, Facts and Myths. Yes. Oh, what is that, the name of that?
We have a myth versus facts fact sheet around the audit.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that, because there are myths out there. And so we state the myth, and then we state the fact next to it. And it's in the exegesis format, okay? I don't know if we have been very aggressive in our advertisements. I don't know if you've seen them. We have one down on Roosevelt Road, which is pretty interesting and very aggressive. And we have reached out into the Beverly neighborhood on 103rd. We're out on Cicero. So we have become very aggressive with a new image, a new face for Chicago State. We have a series of meetings to take place with our marketing office, and we have quite a bit of shared governance there. We have faculty, we have civil service staff and students involved in that process. So we've gotten the word out that way. Pardon me? And internally, we've had about, for students, about 2 to 3 town hall meetings, and for faculty and staff, about 2 to 3 town hall meetings, and then we also go to each college, you know, and have meetings.
It sounds great. I mean, and the shift is so fundamental because it's moving from being reactionary, which is how it felt when I first joined the board, to the things that you're now describing are obviously getting out there ahead of the message, so that's also really important. We're not waiting on bad news to hit and then reacting to it. We're going instead and sharing our own good news.
And it is a work in progress. We are still improving, you know, what we have established over the last 2 years. You will see even more improvements even by the next board meeting.
Thank you.
So the 5.9% increase in applications, I would like to report to the board that in terms of graduation, as you know, last year we hit an average of about 21% graduation rate. We came from a graduation rate of 14% up to about 21% over a 2-year period of time, which is, you know, by any standard throughout the nation, extremely good. We are projecting for this year, which is next May, and I hope everybody comes, we are projecting a 25% graduation rate. Now, let me be clear, though. This graduation rate is on first-time, full-time freshmen. Mm-hmm. Even though we are increasing our graduation rate, this is not something that we embrace. We do not embrace the metric of first-time, full-time freshmen being applied to a university like Chicago State, like Jackson State, you know, Alcorn, et cetera, et cetera. First-time, full-time freshmen, example, we're going to graduate approximately 800 students. In 1 week, we're going to graduate approximately 800 students. First-time, full-time freshmen probably measures about only 200 at most of those students. So the question is, what about the other 600 students? We never get credit for those students. And what we're looking at is the 50% plus graduation rate for those students.
Okay.
But the metric never talks about that. The newspapers never talk about that. So what we're doing, trustee, is the university, regrettably, for a period of time, was just dealing with this 14% graduation rate. What we're doing is we're rebranding ourselves. We're not accepting that label, and we're putting out another brand of, you may go to University of Chicago, but you graduated from Chicago State. You may have gone to Illinois State University, but you graduated from Chicago State. If you ask any faculty member in here, they will tell you that close to 70% of the students in their class came to them from another university. You're not going to find that at the other major universities. So we at that university, we do graduate you, but you've come to us from another university. And that metric is never measured. So we're branding that, or we're marketing that, and we're getting that out there. And it is having an impact. The legislators in Springfield and Congress, they're opening up their eyes, and they say, we never looked at it that way. So we're projecting a 25% graduation rate, and we feel quite good about that. The faculty, the staff have pulled together in a very cohesive way over the last year. I want to commend everybody. We have worked quite a bit towards shared governance, and we're quite pleased with the direction that things are going. The trajectory is in the right direction, and we're going to increase our efforts. With that, thank you very much, sir.
Any other questions for the president? If not, we'll move to our reports. The Academic Student Affairs Committee met. We did have three resolutions, two of which were tenure related. We had a number of faculty up for tenure. We had some denials, and we also had an action item on Professor Emeritus status recommendation. If there are no questions specific to those resolutions, I ask if there's a motion to approve them.
I move that we approve the two recommendations that were presented.
Is there a second?
Three recommendations.
Is there a second?
Second.
We properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
The Finance and Audit Committee met. Trustee Scott?
Good afternoon, Chairman. The Finance and Audit Committee conducted this meeting today. There were five items put before the committee for consideration. All of the items were approved by the members present, and I ask that, I would entertain a motion to approve items A, B, C, D, and E listed on our agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
The Facilities Committee did not meet today, although we do have one action item. If Chief Watson or Attorney Cage would like to just briefly summarize that resolution on PACE.
Yeah, Mr. Trustee, Mr. Chairman, as part of as a condition of our continued participation in the PACE program, wherein the university receives three PACE vehicles at virtually free of charge, PACE is mandated that that the university adopt its amended alcohol testing program of its drivers. And this resolution brings us in conformance with the requirements of PACE.
Great. Any questions, trustees, on that resolution? If there are no questions, is there a motion to approve this resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
The Legislative and Human Resources Committee also met. Trustee Young?
Yes. There were no action items. We did receive a report on the federal level from Attorney Boykins. We did not receive a report from the state level. And I think Dr. Williams is in a position to give us a report at this time on some things that are happening at the state level that affect most of the people here.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I would like to say that on May 22nd, we will be organizing a student lobby day going to Springfield starting at 9 o'clock and coming back around 7. And the purpose is to take students down there to support the governor's proposal to increase MAP by $50 million. As you and I know, that our students rely heavily on the MAP awards. So we will be providing training and education for our students to make certain that they dress appropriately, and make certain that they know who their legislators are, because we don't want folks going to Springfield not knowing who their legislators are, because most times they won't talk to you unless you know who your member is. But the other issue is that yesterday in the Illinois General Assembly, what sailed out of both the House and the Senate is that because of the pension system is about $90 billion in the hole, so they're trying to make some reform measures with respect to the pension system. So what's being proposed, and it's likely that that will kind of move through the General Assembly, is they will attempt to increase the age to 67 years old, perhaps get rid of the COLA, but the major thing is that they're looking to eliminate the health care benefits that current and retired employees, university employees, judges, who currently get. So they are expecting that to take place. But with respect to the age limit, they want to increase that from 55 to 67 because people are now living much longer. I know someone who's 113 years old, and my mother-in-law is, and mother is 86 years old, so we're living much longer. So what they want to do is to change I call myself the poster child because I will be retiring June 30th. So they want to get rid of that, you know, because we're living much, much longer. So the General Assembly, in order to sustain the pension system, a lot of changes will have to be made. But the other issue, and the healthcare will be based upon, you know, paying more. It will be based upon a tier system based on income. So we would encourage you to go to Springfield with us on May 22nd to talk, you know, to members of the General Assembly and try to persuade them otherwise. But because of the state budget is so out of whack, we don't know how successful we will be. But the other thing is that there are major cuts that are being proposed in Medicaid. So if those cuts are sustained, or that means that higher education will have to make some broader cuts in its budget. So it's critical, you know, that we go down and try to encourage the General Assembly to keep higher education as a priority. And of course, daycare centers are asking for more money, $75 million. So if they get their money, then that means the higher education is going to get less. So it's critical that you help us to lobby on May 22nd, and the bus will be leaving at 9 o'clock. And contact me or Christopher Williams in my office in Cook administration to help us with that effort. Any questions? No, I'll leave that up to the trustee. But those are major changes that just happened yesterday in Springfield.
Any questions from the board for
Just to be clear, Dr. Williams, you're saying the pension bill that changes the age to 67 and makes people pay their own health insurance, that it passed both houses.
Yes,
yesterday.
It passed, right. So they're expecting
the governor,
desk. Yeah.
That's a lot.
So it's likely the governor will sign it. Pardon me? Well, they were sustaining that the 30 years of service, but they're looking to increase the age limit to 67 years old.
So you can retire at 30?
But you would have to be older.
You have to be 67 old.
Right. But that's one of the proposals that's on the floor.
If you don't have 30 years of service. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. That's what they need.
Were there any truth to the rumor that we were going to have the pension shortfall, we were going to take the brunt of that? Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, that is why they're looking at the health care. You have to pay more, and that would be based upon what your salary is. Yeah, it would get rid of the free health care.
None of that has been finalized with regards to the pension. There are negotiations taking place, and what the state is projecting out to 2020, that by the time we reach 2020 or beyond, shortly beyond, that all of the dollars for the pension will be funded by the university, the union, and the employee. That all of that will be passed on to those three. And the state is aggressively negotiating that. The university presidents have sat with the leadership, and we're having discussions. Nothing has been decided yet, but the only thing that I do believe, this change is going to take place, and they're going to do something this year. To what extent, nobody knows. No one knows.
Thanks for the update, Dr. Williams. Trustee Young, any update from the Civil Service Merit Board?
No update at this time. I'll be attending my first meeting on Wednesday, May 16th.
Okay, we'll look for an update at the next meeting. I typically give the update on the foundation, but I'm actually going to ask you, Tay, if you don't mind, to come forward and give us a brief update on the foundation.